episode 68 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Lindsay and Sandy. We love to talk about Walt Disney World on this podcast, and some people who aren't super fans like us sometimes wonder why we keep going back. Well, it's because as many times as we've been to Central Florida, there's still a ton of stuff that we haven't experienced. It's not just Disney either, although don't tell Disney that. Universal Studios, Busch Gardens, and SeaWorld are also adding new attractions for 2016. We wanted to take some time to highlight what's new this year and help you decide whether the time is right to revisit the Sunshine State. So let's get started. Let's talk about Universal Studios first.
Okay.
We already said we're going to talk about Disney, and we will.
There's lots to talk about.
Yes. Yeah. So what's happening at Universal Studios?
So, well, I guess we need to say, first of all, if you haven't made it down there yet to see Diagon Alley, which opened in 2014, right?
Wasn't that long ago now?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, because that's when we went. Yeah, if you haven't made it down there yet for that, definitely go for that. But they do have a new ride opening this year. It's going to be the new King Kong ride that looks... Mm-hmm. Super cool too. So,
and actually, this would be a good time to sort of point out some confusion because I've actually had clients to ask me. They're like, "What's the new Harry Potter that's opening up at Universal Studios?" And they think it's in Florida, but what that actually is the Wizarding World is coming to the California park. So, if you hear the new Wizarding World, it's not in Florida.
Yeah.
Sorry. Call us and we'll send you to Southern California,
yeah.
Which is also awesome. But yeah, just to alleviate any confusion there.
Love out there.
Yes, and they've been waiting a long time for it too.
Yeah,
so I'm sure it's going to be awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. And they're also getting a new resort that's supposed to open sometime in 2016, the Lowe's Sapphire Falls Resort.
Yes, and as I understand it, and you guys correct me, because and this could be wrong because we're talking about this before it opens, but my understanding is it does not come with the Express Pass that the deluxe resorts there, which would be Hard Rock, the Portofino and Royal Pacific come with, correct? It's like Cabana Bay in that respect.
I believe you're right.
Yeah, I think so. And of course, that could change. It is not open yet, but at this time, when we book it, we're under the expectation that there is no Express Pass with it.
But you get the early hour.
Yes, just like with Cabana.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can go to SeaWorld to talk about the ride I will never ever do.
And what's that? Tell us about it.
That Mako shark themed hypercoaster. You drop 200 feet into a shark encounter area.
Yeah. So I know what we're going to make Lindsay do the next time.
Yeah, really.
That might not be the bucket list.
So that's sort of a hearkening to the Atlantis resort, right? Because in Atlantis, they have that huge water slide that goes through the shark tank. Yeah.
I have not been to Atlantis.
Yeah, that's one of the big attractions at Atlantis is this big, huge water slide, and it goes through the shark tank. Not like you're not literally going to swim with the sharks there in tanks around you. Although there was a famous incident where a shark jumped out and landed on the slide. Didn't hurt anybody, but yeah, it was an awkward moment for everyone involved.
God. No, I had not heard that.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, so I had to actually look up what hypercoaster meant, and it means that there's a drop of at least 200 feet. So it's pretty big.
That is pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, so that should be pretty cool. Did you guys ride the newest one currently at SeaWorld?
Is that the Manta?
Yeah.
Is that the newest one? We
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Lindsay?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was fun. Did you liked it, didn't you?
I did like it. I liked it. I think I'm of the age where I can do that once and then I need some more time before I do it again.
Yeah.
I don't think that's one that I, like if I was younger, I think that's one that I'd be like, yeah, let's do this again.
Andy rode that with us, and I think of the three of us, he was the only one who probably could have done it right away again. Although I could be wrong, but he's not there to speak for himself.
You know, to be honest, I feel like I'm beat up whenever I get off roller coasters, even like Rock and Roller Coaster or Everest, you know?
Well, the cool thing about Manta is, and I know we're talking about new stuff, but I guess it's still new, is it sort of, you get on it and then it like lays you down. So you actually start off in sort of that flying position. And I haven't done a coaster like that before, so I don't know how they normally work.
Yeah, I've never done one like that.
Yeah, so and I think for me, the weird thing is it still has, like, the rolls, like you would have at Aerosmith or anything like that. But because you're laying down, it's a totally different sensation. I mean, if you can imagine, it's like somebody sort of swings you up and over instead of where when you're sitting, you just sort of roll over. There's this, it's just a change in your center of gravity. And so it feels very different.
How does it feel with your neck? Because that's what always makes me...
It didn't bother me at all. Lindsay, did you have any...
I don't remember having issues with my neck. I have issues where I feel like I'm going to fall when I'm laying like that. Yeah. I did the first ride I did like that was Superman and Six Flags. And I about had... That was about it for me. That was the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my life. So I like that. I don't like that feeling.
I'm not wild about that, but I will say it didn't hurt my neck nearly the way that, say, Aerosmith or something, even Hulk, where it takes off. You know, it goes from 0 to 60 really, really fast, and that sort of whiplash feel that you can get.
I have to consciously keep my head back.
I think there's a psychological factor there too. Like, even though it's just as safe as every other coaster, it's set up the same. You feel like, because you're in that position, I felt like I couldn't grab something if I needed to.
Mm-hmm. Not that it would have done you any good.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
And I guess there is an illusion. I mean, I think at Universal Studios, the Rip Ride Rocket, you go straight up before you know, and it's not a fast ascent, it's a crawl. And you actually start feeling like you're tipping backwards in that, to me. Like you're going to fall out backwards, which of course you're not. You're at a 90 degree angle, but it's this illusion of, and 90 degrees is still pretty freaking scary.
And that thing is tall.
It's tall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So has anybody seen the, I keep seeing the artwork, but I haven't seen a coaster, a mock-up of what the actual cars, the seats are going to look like for this.
Did you see that in your research?
Mako?
No, I haven't, actually.
Okay. I'm just kind of curious if it's going to be.
Yeah, they talk more about, like, the shark part of it, and I guess there's a new shark area.
And I do think that's actually sort of a cool element to sort of ride through. Anything like that where you can ride through an aquarium, I think is fun. I mean, I enjoyed it at Epcot, which is much more slow-paced.
Yeah.
But even, you know, one of the main reasons that I want to visit the Atlantis Resort is because of that slide through the shark tank. Because, you know, and I don't know, maybe it's something that's just so quick that you don't realize.
If it's a wedgie machine, I don't
it is a tall slide. It is absolutely a tall slide. So what's this, speaking of animal themes, what's the Cobra's Curse?
Oh, this looks really cool. So, Busch Gardens, Tampa, about an hour drive from Orlando. The Cobra's Curse, it's a family spinning coaster. So it reminded me when I saw the concept art of it, of the one in Dino World, in Animal Kingdom, where you're like, it locks, but then it unlocks and then you spin. So there's parts of it where it spins around like that, and it's two cars that are close together, so they're alternating spinning. And it has an elevator lift, which, you know, that's something new. So, yeah, it looks pretty cool. Interesting. I haven't been to Busch Gardens since I was a kid, so... My kids are not real big thrill seekers, so they don't care about roller coasters and stuff like that. But I think it would be worth checking out.
That's a great park, the Tampa park. And I haven't been in a really, really long time either. But it is actually, there's shuttles that run from Orlando. We can help hook you up with those as well. And you can combine your SeaWorld ticket with the Busch Gardens.
Or if you want to do a beach trip on top of your Orlando trip, that's a good place to go because there's a really good zoo there and you've got St. Pete's Beach and St. Peter's.
Some of the most beautiful beaches in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
Bradenton and all that.
Pretty. Yep. All right. So that covers the rest.
So Lindsay, do you want to talk about what's coming to Epcot?
Okay. So I am a little torn about this. The new Frozen ride is going to open here soon. They said spring of 2016. Frozen Forever After. And of course, that's located in the Norway Pavilion, where Maelstrom used to be. So I loved Maelstrom. So I'm going to have high standards for this, but I hear it's supposed to be fantastic. And of course, it's going to be popular instantly, like everything else that says Frozen on it.
There's a lot of controversy about this ride. How do you feel about it?
I feel like they're going to do a good job. I mean, I like Epcot being more without characters, I think. I like being there and seeing people from like the National Geographic TV shows and things like that. But I think they'll do a good job with it. I mean,
it is a small world after all.
Well, and you know, as much as I've always loved Maelstrom, to be honest with you, it was more like a cheesy nostalgia than a really great ride. I mean, they're gonna recycle the trolls, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's trolls in front.
Yeah, I know, so. Right?
And yeah. You know, it's interesting to me because I think I'm like one of four people on earth who knew that Maelstrom was closing and didn't care. Now, there are lots of people who probably didn't even know Maelstrom existed or didn't care, yeah. but honestly, when they, and I won't say that I didn't care, but I think it's the same thing. To me, the parks always need to be growing and changing. And that does, you know, yes, I miss Mr. Toad's Wild Ride as well. I don't actually miss Snow White's Scary Adventure that much.
Let's see.
I'm glad I experienced it. I'm happy that that was in my life. But I mean, I guess that's sort of the same way I feel about a lot of my ex-boyfriends, right? I'm glad that happened and now I'm done and yeah. I'm ready to move on. You know, you sort of make say those goodbyes in life, and it's important. And Frozen is remarkable. And depending on how, that's the thing is, we also don't know how frozen it's going to be. Is it going to be Elsa singing Let It Go the whole time? Or is it going to be, a little bit more focused on the culture of Norway?
I don't know. Well, that would be interesting to see. I know they're also building another character pavilion there. They're making the pavilion much bigger. It looks like if, when you go by there, the whole section beside it is under construction too. So it looks like they're really expanding Norway. So, you know, I mean, I think all the countries probably could use a little update. I think that I haven't seen the China movie in a while. I haven't watched Impressions de France in a while, you know. So, yeah, and the last time I saw O Canada, it was a little dated as well. So,
well, you've seen the new Martin Short version of that, though, right? Yeah, it's still dated. Well, and I will say the China Pavilion is a huge bugaboo for me because China has changed so much since 1980, and you would not know it from that movie. And that's the thing is, would China have benefited from a Mulan makeover? Maybe, because at least they would have redone it a little bit so that it might be a little bit more modern. Granted, you know, Mulan is not set in modern China, but neither is this poet who narrates the Chinese pavilion. And it's just, to me, it's just heartbreaking to see a country that's, you know, that's done so much. And, you know, this is a long period of time since Epcot opened. And so I just really feel France maybe not has changed so much. no offense to the French. I think they pride themselves on that. But China has definitely grown and changed and deserves better than what they have.
Is this a foot in the door? Is this a sign of things to come for Epcot? Is kind of what I wonder. Is this the direction now? I mean, because everything does need an update. You're right. There needs to be more. But I wonder if this is successful. Maybe this will be a nod to them that this is the right direction to move with the rest of the. Who knows?
And they have introduced those characters into those pavilions. I mean, Mulan does appear in China, and Belle and Ratatouille is in France. Yeah, so yeah, you definitely see the characters getting introduced. And does it need to be part of the cultural presentation? Not necessarily, but I do think that these countries deserve better. Mm-hmm. And if Norway's presentation can be updated a little bit, because honestly, yes, the trolls are cute, and Norway has has quite a history with the Vikings, but Norway has a lot to offer as well. And I'm sure, you know, I haven't spoken to the cast members there, but there's got to be, you know, they've got to come over from Norway and go, really, this is what you're still showing from, you know? So I don't know. I just feel like it couldn't be a bad thing necessarily.
I think we need more places like the tequila bar in Mexico. That is such a hit. I love this.
That's fair.
Right. So let's hop over. Well, no, there's more in Epcot
there's
coming.
There's more in Epcot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so go ahead.
There is a brand new, and Soarin', I know there's a lot of controversy about this too, but I really think this is the right move to make.
Yeah.
They have updated the movie for Soarin'. Yes. So now it'll be Soarin' Around the World or Soarin' Over the World.
Yeah, Over the World, I think. And it's over. Also, they're also adding a third theater to get people through the lines faster, which is very much needed, so that's going to be really cool.
Hopefully while it was down, they were fixing the interactive queue.
Okay, so we've talked about the controversy on that. Lindsay, how do you feel about this?
I'm very happy about this one. Soarin' Over California really, you know, had been there a long time, and I mean, it kind of made no sense to be in Florida, and it was, look, you know, as much as I love that ride, and I go on it over and over and over again. It was kind of like a little out of place. So I think this is a better fit, much better fit with the World Showcase there. And
I think it's just endless potential there. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's, I'm surprised it took them so long, because the movie for the California one was looking a little dated, needed some touch-ups, and could have used a little extra love too. And they can always, you know, have like a nostalgia week or something, you know, where they could show it in one theater and people could see it again. So I think it's the kind of thing that they could easily bring back if they
want. Well, right now it's not changing at Disneyland, right?
It is.
It is. Okay. I'm sorry. My bad. Sorry. Yeah. I should have known that. Yeah. But, well, and so this, for me, if I'm going to be upset about any ride changing, it would be this one, because this is my favorite ride at Walt Disney World. And, when I first experienced it at Disneyland, I rode it like 6 or 7 times. I'd never seen anything like it. And I still love it every single time I ride it. And every single time I rode it in Florida, I would get off the ride and think, why have they not taken better care of this film? Okay. You know, the film is really, a good friend of mine made a great sort of, he called it Googling over California, and he took Google Maps and basically mapped all these places where they'd been. And so he would run it side by side with the movie, and you could see like, and the Orange Grove is actually a subdivision now. Like, all of that is gone. Wow. So like, it's sort of, you know, to me, that just watching that progress. So I will always have a place in my heart for this movie, for this attraction, I guess I should say, but I'm really excited to see it branch out. And you know, the history of this, and I'm pulling this out of nowhere, I have no sources on this. So perhaps, we'll have to put a footnote in the show notes that says Elizabeth was totally wrong about this. But, if memory serves me, this was actually designed as a ride to be at the Manassas Park, which was supposed to be in Northern Virginia a long, long time. Did you know about that?
No.
There was going to be an American, like American history themed Walt Disney Park.
Right.
They, you know, were looking at land for it. It was in the Eisner years, and they never built it. And the one ride that they had pretty much done a lot of concept work on was this sort of hang gliding thing. And it was going to be sort of a hang gliding over America. So they changed it for the California part because it had come so far. And so this, to me, is just a natural progression, you know, of what it would be. It really fit in the California park. It was sort of weird in Florida. They brought it over as part of that, you know, we're going to share, you know, just like Lights, Motors, Action came over from Paris, and you know, that's going away too. I guess we can transition from this point into Hollywood Studios. And so that's, you know, for me, yeah, I'm very excited to see this branch out. I've seen some of the production work on it, and you know, flying over these places all over the world is just going to be amazing.
Be really cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I have one more thing I want to mention before we move on from Epcot is, you know, the Flower and Garden Festival and the Food and Wine Festival are happening again this year. So always cool stuff with those festivals to look at. And one of my favorite things is the new Dooney and Burke with Figment. It's going to be at Flower and Garden. So that might be the one I splurge on this time.
Yeah. Speaking of sentimentality.
Yeah, yeah, right? I know.
Figment will never die.
I don't know. I've heard so, you know, I've gotten so much flack over, you know, whether or not I was going to buy one. And I saw that, and I can just see myself running around from store to store trying to find the perfect Figment placement.
Yeah, I can see you doing this.
Yeah, right. Oh my God.
So let's move on to Hollywood Studios, because there's a lot going on at Hollywood Studios.
Right? Yeah, it's kind of the park that's having everything shut down, right? Mm-hmm. That's so.
No, not so much as Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom is, I think, shut down a lot. But anyway, we can argue that later.
We could do a whole podcast. you know, they're shutting down, like you said, the Lights, Motor, Action. They've taken away the animation. Animation courtyard. Mm-hmm. And now it's Star Wars Launch Bay. And so they're got rid of the lights, the Osborne lights, and they're taking away the Streets of America section. So that's going to be kind of sad. But they're bringing in all this extra Star Wars stuff, which I did get to experience the new Star Tours with the Force Awakens parts to it. And that was pretty cool. Although I've wondered, I only rode it one time, so I was kind of like, you know, do they show these every time and they don't switch them up?
Well, what was your other scene?
The last one was one I had seen before.
But do you know what it was? I do think that what they're doing is they're showing the new one almost every time. I don't know if it's every time, because we only rode it once as well. Lindsay, did you ride it recently?
Yeah, I rode it like 4 times, and I rode it actually, we were there the weekend they changed over in Disneyland, and then I rode it in Disney World too. But I've gotten several different scenes now of the new, like it's mixed in. I think it's still, I could be completely wrong again, but no.
There's just one new, there's just one new scene, right? There's with,
well, from the new movie. I saw BB-8 and.
I definitely saw BB-8. Well,
okay. Yeah. But the scene, like, okay. So BB-8.
So
is
I think
one of the
first
figures.
Two scenes were Force Awakens and then BB-8. And then there was a new third scene.
Oh, I had the same first scene with the little droid. I guess it depends on what you're calling scenes.
And this is a tricky one too. Who knows how many they have?
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is a random generated, and weren't there when this was redone? Weren't there like 300 or some whatever different combinations?
Yeah, but there's not that many scenes. So I know in all the times that I've ridden Star Wars, I feel like I've seen all of the first. So there's the first scene where you're leaving, mm-hmm. and then there's a planet scene, right. and then there's a scene when you're in space again, and it's a character. It could be Yoda, it could be Leia, it could be, and then there's a second planet scene with an end to it, right?
I thought there were three planet scenes. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
Write in and tell us how close we are.
Well, I would like to hear from you.
I would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last time we saw the...
And I've written this a ton of times.
The opening scene was one that I've seen before with the droid who sticks his little sucker on the front window to try and stop you.
Right.
And then we saw the new scene where you see Finn and then...
Yep.
Yeah. And then we saw BB-8
yes.
in the middle. And then we saw the planet... Is it Naboo with the Jar Jar Binks characters?
Okay, mine was not Naboo. It was the one where they're driving and you're going the wrong way with all the traffic.
Okay, yeah, the Coruscant. Yeah. So that's the end of that is the end. Like you land.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's okay. Two scenes, two planet scenes.
Okay.
Two people scenes, two planet scenes.
Okay. All right. Good. So moving on. There's Star Wars Launch Bay. So you can meet, Darth Vader up till a few weeks ago, and now it's Kylo Ren, who is
pretty
freaking scary, and Chewbacca, who's so cute. And then the coolest thing that I did recently was the Star Wars fireworks, the Symphony in the Sky, or Symphony in the Stars. What's it called? Symphony in the Stars, I believe. But that was phenomenal. That was such a new original fireworks show to me that, don't miss it, you guys.
Yeah, it was incredible. And it was one of those ones that you couldn't wait. I mean, I had several nights this past trip. I was there in January. And I had several nights where I ran back over there.
Oh, yeah.
to get there. I seriously just got into the park just in time and ran up to see it because I wanted to see it as many times as I could. And I love Disney's fireworks. No one does fireworks like Disney. And everyone said that it will ruin you for every other fireworks show,
go to. Well, and Star Wars, John Williams has written some of the best movie music in the, ever. And it's almost inarguable. I'm sure somebody will argue it, but.
The dance party is kind of cute and fun too, right?
I'm too much of a purist. I was so happy when the hat came down and you could look down Hollywood Boulevard and see Man's Chinese Theater, and now there's a dance party there.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, my 9-year-old thought it was awesome.
Well,
so.
It totally ruins the flow. You don't feel like old Hollywood. Oh, no. I just want a little bit of old Hollywood. That's what I want it to be. Anyway,
I saw, I think it was Bolt and Genie out there dancing.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Really,
so that's
cool.
Fun.
Yep. I saw somebody else. Oh, the White Rabbit, which made me wonder if they were bringing it. Yes. Which made me wonder if they were bringing in the whole tea party from Disneyland. Yeah. So, yeah. Isn't that?
Because there's a new Alice in Wonderland movie coming out, right?
So.
You talking about the live action one that already came out?
No, there's a new one with Johnny Depp. There's a new one.
Really? Oh, is there a sequel?
I could be wrong. No, every time you question me,
This is going to be like the podcast where like nobody agrees with anything. Like,
we really need our listeners to step it up and respond.
Okay, so we've been talking for a really long time. And we need to finish this up. So let's talk about, we should talk about Animal Kingdom because there's a lot happening.
You forgot one of the coolest things that they brought into the Star Wars Launch Bay area. You can trade with the Jawas.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. That so bring your little tchotchkes.
Yes, and they don't take, just FYI, they don't like people food. They won't take people food, so just, you know,
bring
them
something else.
Yeah.
All right.
And not just pens. You don't have to have pens. You can have other things too. So
if you give them a pen, they'll give you someone else's pen.
And don't give them your magic band. Bad. there's some cool props in there too, actually. So yeah, if you're a Star Wars fan, that's actually, it's kind of a cool little museum. It's not huge, but.
And the little movie was cute too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's good.
Yeah, it was. With some behind the scenes stuff. Okay, let's talk about Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom. Oh, I'm so excited. It's turning into a nighttime park.
Well, that makes one of us.
It's going to be awesome. the Rivers of Light. This is going to be the water show that's going to be on the water. there's going to be like arena seating over by Everest and where like the Nemo Theater is and stuff. And they're going to, I think it's going to have some projection stuff. I'm not really sure, but I'm very excited to see it. And they're saying spring. So hopefully I'm taking two trips this spring. So hopefully I'll get to,
I am really excited about that. Any nighttime show that Disney does is going to be fantastic. Yeah. So yeah. The effects will be great. And then, of course, the whole left side of the park is closed because they're bringing in the Avatar Land stuff, and that's opening in stages, not terribly soon, right?
It's we're 2017 still, is when it's going to start, which kind of fits in with their, you know, they got a new movie
release
in December. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they'll, you know, it's interesting because I heard that as much money as Star Wars has been making, they don't expect it to catch up to Avatar. Isn't that interesting?
Really, yeah, that is interesting. That.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think maybe Disney hit on something with the whole Avatar Land. I think, and you know, they're going to do it well. It's not coming out this
year.
Well,
and it does look very cool. I mean, the effects and everything with the floating rock islands and things like that. It does look like it's going to be very.
I got some pictures. You can see some of that.
Really? It's starting to go up. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love how they're doing it though, that the rides and the attractions are going to coincide with the second movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it'll be instant gratification for fans right away who want to run out and see the movie, and then right now we don't have to another.
Right.
And that's been sort of a complaint of Disney, fans. I mean, this whole Frozen Ever After thing that we talked about in Epcot, that's opening, 3 years after the movie came out?
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, it's always been sort of a lag.
Yeah, it's kind of cool how they were able to, you know, work on the movie and work on this part of the park. I think they're going to do a good job. And, you know, actually that side of the park will be open tonight. They're going to do nighttime safaris, which should be pretty cool. And bring out some nocturnal animals to feast on the ones that are sleeping.
It'll be a party.
Just kidding.
No, it is true. I mean, I think that's a representation that hasn't been there. And to be able to wander around that park at night. I mean, that was actually sort of one of the big attractions, the Everest race, is you could go to the park at night. All those rides that would be very fun to ride at night, you can only do that.
And it's a gorgeous park at night. It's so cool when it's lit up.
Kali River Rapids at night with the fires burning is so cool. It's one of the neatest things.
So we should talk about Disney Springs before we go, though, because it's huge.
One quick thing about Magic Kingdom before we switch over.
Okay.
There's the Skipper Cantina.
Oh, yes.
Skipper Canteen. So it's a new restaurant, and it's supposed to be where the skippers from the Jungle Cruise hang out. And I have taken pictures of the menu. I have not. They don't let you just go inside unless you're eating. As of right now, they're not taking reservations, but the wait's not bad, and you can go in. And I do believe they are taking the dining plan now as a table service.
And the food is good.
Did you eat there? Okay. So how were the wait staff interacting with you?
They are hilarious. Though I had a really good skipper. He was hilarious. It was when we went in, it was kind of still a little best kept secret. I don't think a lot of people knew that they could just walk up and if there was seating available.
Because where can you do that at Disney?
It's just not done right there. I think a lot of people were passing by it. They just didn't even notice it was there. But I think once the word is out on it, it's going to be something. I've heard mixed reviews about the food, but I can say I ate there twice and I liked everything I had. And my, one of the people I was eating there with, she loved her food. She had the steak salad, and it was pretty tasty. But they were kind of still changing the menu up, I think, a little bit, and mixing things around with seasoning and spice or whatever. But the wait staff itself was very, very, and the menu is hysterical. The story about how it came to be.
I'll have to go read my pictures.
If you turn the menu over, it's just the back side of the menu. It's a reference back.
It's a good time, and I could have probably spent. I'm a jungle cruise nerd, so I could have probably spent, you know, hours in there walking around taking pictures too. So
where exactly is it? Because I looked for it briefly as we were exiting the park really quickly.
From the treehouse.
Okay. All right. So it's a little bit before you might expect it to be from the back of the park. Yeah. Or after, if you're coming from the front.
Like, going, yeah, if you're going back towards the hub, it's further than you would think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. All right, let's talk about Disney Springs. We're running over here, so.
All right, yeah.
Talk about Disney.
I know, right? So I got to go to Disney Springs on my last trip, and I was surprised. I haven't been there in a couple years. And it was a Monday night in February, and it was crowded. There were a ton of people there, and they had street performers, like, every so often, playing music, people were out there dancing. It was really, they've really done a lot to kind of liven that area back up. And so I think it's definitely reawoken or whatever. It's very cool. We went to the Boathouse, which is excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent food. Yeah,
I was cool. Talking to, we have a preferred limo service for the Orlando area if you need to get from mm-hmm. one area to another. And I was talking to him when I was there just last week, and he was saying that the parking decks and everything is starting to get, it's finally starting to, like, be navigable. And
oh, they changed the roads getting in there.
Yeah, you can get there directly from the highway now. Right. So
yeah, and the parking garage is a smart garage. Mm-hmm. So it'll tell you what floor to go to, and there'll be green lights over empty parking spaces.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah,
brilliant.
That's awesome.
Why wasn't this done before?
Yeah, that is awesome. That is a good use of technology right there.
Yeah,
it
really
needs to be everywhere. Yeah. They can just take that and put that everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I love, did you go to Marumoto?
I took pictures of the outside, but I didn't eat there. Yeah.
It's so beautiful at night, too, with the food. Oh, my gosh, those sticky ribs. If I had to pick a last meal, that would be it.
Well, hopefully you don't have to do that too soon.
Yeah, I need to go back and spend some more time. I was going nuts in the co-op. Oh, my gosh. All the, like, the dishes, they had these little dessert plates that say everything is satisfactual, like from the Splash Mountain ride, and they had beer mugs with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I mean, it was like Disney geek heaven. It was so cool. Like, yeah. I'll be throwing a lot of money their way.
Take my money. Take it.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, I think that's everything. And I realized Sandy just left me high and dry when she wrote the script. She didn't put the end in. That was nice.
No, it's there.
So that was our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or search for Fly Away if that is too much work for you. Or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of myself, Sandy, our amazing engineer and editor, Heidi, and Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.